This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want to help you guys help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can support the show. You can share it online. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. You're going to find some links right there in the description, so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading.
Nehemiah has become one of my favorite books, not only in the Old Testament, but just in the Bible as a whole. Mm-hmm. I love the book of Nehemiah, and the people are hearing from God in his word. And the things that they hear, they actually cut them to the heart. You know, they heard about the holiness of God. They saw their sinfulness in the light of his holiness. And even though they were tempted to despair, Nehemiah and then Ezra and all the other leaders of that time, they were giving them the good news of God's grace. And that was what was helping them understand it.
Yeah, those writers, those characters in the post-exilic period where people are coming back from exile into the land of God's people, they're rebuilding the temple. And then, of course, with Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the walls around the city. Mm-hmm. It's just an example of how the power of God's word not just motivates you to do what's right, but helps you examine your heart. Because people hear from the book of the law, they hear from God's word, and it moves them to repentance. You hear that in the story of Ezra and of Nehemiah. And it's just a reminder to us, you know, what we're doing here through the Clearview Today Show. On your own worshiping and reading God's word and your own devotional time, man, it's so important to be in God's word.
That's right. We want to remind you guys to download the Date the Word app. That's where all these verses are coming from. We're going to leave a link right in the description so you can do just that. But Ryan, my friend, I got a question for you.
Here comes the money.
Oh! Some money today, my friend, because I got $1 million question for you.
Money.
All right, so check this out. I'm going to give you $1 million.
And I love that.
You have to attend every single Super Bowl for the rest of your life in person. Now, think about that now. You have to attend every Super Bowl. A couple years in a row, it might not be that big a deal. But the older you get, you're going to start caring less and less and less and less about the Super Bowl. Like right now, like me, I don't care enough about the Super Bowl to go to it at all.
Yeah.
It's an expense paid trip. You don't have to pay for it.
Oh,
but you have to arrange all the stuff. Like it's coming, like you'll just put in like a credit card number and it's just whatever, it's done.
Sure.
But you have to arrange
travel.
Yep. And then go and attend the Super Bowl. Like I said, first couple of years, it may not be that bad, but you have to like, imagine something. Like, is there anything big? Is any of your family's birthdays in February?
No, not really.
Yeah, imagine like if something like you got grandkids and one of their birthdays is in February, you have to attend the Super Bowl.
I'd probably take that.
Ryan Hill.
I'd probably take it. And here's like, so every year here at Clearview, we do like a Super Bowl watch party right. with like the students and the college students and that. I'd probably just turn that into like a youth trip. Like,
okay, theirs are not covered financially.
Well, I just opened up. I mean, some of them would go.
Okay.
I just opened it up and be like, hey, our church is doing this. If you want to sign on, here's the information.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd probably take it. If it's an expense paid trip, sure.
But I mean, but that's every year. It's not like it's, I mean, you are compelled to go.
Yeah, but it's a short commitment. I mean, I'm going to be gone for a week tops.
Yeah, but I mean, think about that's a week every year for something that you really don't care about that much. And it's every year. It's every year for the rest of your life. Imagine being your 80s, having to try to go to see the Super Bowl.
I'd be a millionaire in my 80s. I'll have people to take me to the Super Bowl.
Golly. Yeah, would you do it, David? Yeah. $1 million, but you have to attend the Super Bowl every year? I wouldn't do it either.
No, I'd take
you
it.
Nick,
sure.
Would you do it? You would? I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Because I just think it's cumbersome. It's like really cumbersome to have to go. I mean, look, like I said, the first couple of years, it's like, oh, yeah, we get to attend the Super Bowl. That's cool. But then I'm like 50, 55, 60. Sure. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. All right. Let's get the arrangements going. Let's get the plane ticket.
It's a trip.
I'm sorry.
It's a trip like, you know, you and your wife or maybe like you and your boys. Like you get to look forward to it every year.
But we're not even football fans.
Who cares?
Man, have you ever been to a game of football like played live?
I've been to a college football game.
Yeah, it takes like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, it's fun.
Bro.
You get to walk around the stands and like go get a hot dog. And
you surprised me. I really thought
yeah,
you would
I take
say
that. Yeah.
I thought you would say no and that David would say yes.
No, I would take it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
let's ask Dr. Shaw. I would not take it. I would not take $1 million. I have to attend every
Unless
Super Bowl.
I have to, like, out of the million, out of my personal money, I have to finance the trip.
No, no.
Then I'm going to say, no.
No, it's paid
but
for.
But if it's paid for, yeah, sure.
Jeez,
the only thing you lose is time.
Yes. That's what I can't get back. I can get my money back, but having to go to the Super Bowl every year?
Yeah, you just plan for it.
All right.
That's fine. I'll take it.
I wouldn't do it.
Write in and let us know. Would you take that deal? $1 million, but you get it. You have to take, you're compelled to take an expense paid trip to the Super Bowl.
Every year.
Every year.
Without fail.
Every single year without fail.
If your wife's birthday or your anniversary's in February, you're out of luck. Yeah, out of luck. You're not thinking. See, this guy right here is not thinking.
You're not gone the whole month. It's not like we're shut down for the rest of February because I have to go to this one event.
Oh, shoot. Ellie's birthday, I think, is Super Bowl week. It's February 17th.
Happy birthday for the rest of your life, honey.
Yeah.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all his work on his website. That's abhinavshah.com. Dr. Shah, $1 million, but every single year in February, you have to attend the Super Bowl in person.
What do I get?
You get $1 million.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every single year, though.
Hold on. Yes. Tell them the rest of it. And the trip itself is paid for.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to pay for it.
That's an easy one.
But I feel like...
That's what I'm saying.
Here's my
absolutely.
Thing. Here's my thing. I feel like the first couple years, no big deal. It's like a fun football trip. But then you're like in your 60s, in your 70s. You've got stuff to do in February. You're not really that into football. And it's like, all right, I got to go to the Super Bowl and sit in this stadium for six hours.
One game.
Football is great, man.
It's also what it's not going to take you like 2.5 weeks to go to the Super Bowl.
I just don't think you're getting the gravity of it. I think it sounds easy now, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be annoying.
70, I can't make a road trip to go see the Super Bowl.
A road trip? Isn't it in like Texas or something?
It's everywhere.
Oh, it's
everywhere.
All over the place.
Who cares?
All right. And y'all.
It doesn't cost me anything.
Also, David said he wouldn't do it. David said,
"Why wouldn't you do it, David?"
David also doesn't like money.
You said you wouldn't do it.
Say again.
Also, David said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I just feel like when I get to be like in my 70s or 80s, I just wouldn't enjoy it.
Man, that's y'all what I'm saying. Like 70s, 80s, I'm going to be like jet setting around the planet. Like, I'm ready to
but
go.
But to devote so much of your time to a game you're not even interested in.
Who cares? I might be interested in it. Who cares?
All right.
You know, I traveled to Turkey a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now about a year ago,
yeah,
to be honest, a year and a half ago, and Dr. Carl Rasmussen,
okay,
he's the one who did the Zondervan map, and he and his wife, I mean, they're in the 80s,
really,
they're still out there
traveling,
taking pictures, and he has a big website where people come and buy pictures from him, biblical site, and he's still traveling.
Was he there when you went?
He's the one who led the group.
Oh, okay.
So we get to hang out with him.
Wow.
80 years old.
Still going
up there
it.
Walking around.
Yeah.
Our
tour guide in Greece, I mean, she wasn't like in her early 40s or anything. She was up there in age.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Our tour guide in Israel is kind of up there in age. You wouldn't know it looking
in
at
the
him.
70s.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Traveling around. Speaking of traveling around, we're going to continue the conversation from yesterday's episode about Dr. Shah's recent trip across the pond.
Across the pond.
I tried to say it very posh, but it didn't come out that way.
Jolly old England, where they had tea and crumpets, and they stick their pinky out. They have tea and scandal at 4:30. They just
everyday scandal scheduled.
They
at 4:30.
Just do everything proper over there, except for all the knife violence. That's kind of
yeah.
Bad,
that's not great.
Yeah.
All the crossbow violence.
All the crossbow. Yeah,
the crossbow violence.
That goes to tell
that's
you.
Not great.
That guns are not the problems, folks.
Right.
You're the human heart, mate.
There are bad people everywhere.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
It's not about the wheel. It's the nut behind the wheel.
There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Dr. Shah, on yesterday's episode, we were talking about your trip to the London Museum, I think it was. British Museum.
London Museum right now is closed.
Mm.
They're remodeling it.
Gotcha. So the British Museum, going around and seeing all of those things. And I was floored yesterday when you said that there's about 10% of what they have on display.
Yes.
But if you stop and see everything, not even read everything, just see everything, it's going to take you a couple days to get through.
Easily.
Unbelievable.
Is the British Museum in London?
Yes.
So there's a London Museum, but then there's the British Museum, but they're both
two
in
different
London.
Things.
Got you.
Two different things.
So London.
One is more focused on London's history.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is more, you know, everybody
just British,
else's.
Yeah.
It just happens to also be in London.
Got it.
Yes.
That makes sense.
London Museum is more like in the central London part, like to the west of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Okay.
British Museum and British Library is more to the north of London. Not like north, like way north. It's just north of the central part of London.
As far as a city, if you had to compare it to a kind of city here in the States, what's a comparable, companion for London?
Wow, that's a great question.
Is it like a New York City or?
No, but I would say bring New York along with Washington, D.C., along with a little bit of Atlanta thrown in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say somewhere
in
maybe.
In that main street. So British Library, there's lots of ancient texts. There's lots of like biblical manuscripts, religious texts and stuff.
Yeah. But it's a library.
Right. It's an actual library you can go and get.
Yeah, you cannot check books out. I could have gotten a card there, but for time's sake, I couldn't do that. I was like, I got to get in line there, and then I got to show my ID and all that. It won't take long, but I was like, I got to go to the British Museum, so I skipped the card.
Well, you know what they say. Having fun isn't hard when you've got a library card. Just going to put myself down for that. That's just for me. Shout out to...
Who says that?
That was Arthur. Arthur the Aardvark said
got
that.
It. Sure. Okay.
So, British Museum.
Yes.
More than just texts. More than just documents.
Yeah.
And
texts it's British Library is just a library,
right?
But it has some ancient documents there, and then it also has a section of its special treasures or exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the British Library is built like a ship.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
If you ever see the picture, you'll be like, oh, that's a ship.
Nice.
But they have a special exhibit where they have Shakespeare's first folio.
Oh,
They have a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
The first ones.
I didn't know that.
And then, of course, as I mentioned, Codex Sinaiticus, mm-hmm. Codex Alexandrinus. These are 4th and 5th century codices of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other things, of course.
So this is the British Museum, but in a sense, this is kind of like world history.
This is the library.
British library, but this is like world history almost.
In a sense.
Okay. Gotcha.
But museum is a little bit of a walk from there, mm-hmm. coming back towards central London. So we decided to walk and realized quickly it was a long walk. I wish we had taken an Uber or something.
Oh, right.
But anyways, we walked and we made it on time to the British Museum.
Wow.
And we had lunch there. So we went ahead and ate our lunch and mm-hmm. then began our tour. What I did was I mapped out what I wanted to see in the British Museum because mm-hmm. there's no way, like I said, 5 days if you want to read everything, 2 days if you just want to glance at everything and keep moving.
Wow.
2 days.
That's big.
Incredible.
That's big. That wow. Layers, levels. And just 10% of everything.
Yeah.
So I decided to focus on two major areas because we only had like an hour and a half.
Right. Mm.
Maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
So two major areas. I focused on Assyrian history, and I focused on Persian history.
So that's sort of the thing. The British Museum is not just British history. This is everybody's history. We're going and getting stuff from everybody.
This is, you have Indian history, like India.
Mm-hmm.
Indian history. You have American history. You have, Greek history, Egyptian history. Chaldean history. I mean, you name it, it's there.
Wow.
And tons of things from there.
Wow.
I'll focus mostly on Assyrian because I haven't been able to see much of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see things like the winged bulls of Khorsabad
mm-hmm. mm.
found in the northern part of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to get to see that anywhere.
Yeah.
The places I go to are like Israel, Egypt, Turkey, Greece.
Yeah, they're not going to have Assyrian artifacts.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. So I made sure I went there. I also wanted to see the pottery from Hatsor mm-hmm. that was there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see this Taylor prism. Taylor prism is this six-sided prism. And on this prism, there's a reference to King Hezekiah and the siege of Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
That's in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Where it says, I locked him up like a bird in a cage.
In a cage.
Yeah.
And that is...
And it's just sitting. It's right there.
Yeah. Wow. And it was like, it's not even like... front and center sitting in the museum. No, it was like second level in this display case. Nobody around there. And I was like, where'd he go? And I'm like, oh, there it is. And I went, like, sure enough, Taylor Prism. I was like, Nicole, right here. She's like, that? I'm like, yeah.
That's it's the
like,
and the Bible wow. talks about it, and it's sitting yeah, right there right in that. Front of your face.
Taylor yeah. Prism.
Incredible.
So I saw that. Rosetta Stone was a big on my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rosetta Stone is where you have those three languages that helped us to decipher hieroglyphs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see that. And my goodness, the time of the year we went, not the best.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of people there?
Yeah, I would not have gone this time of the year because it's tourist season. I mean, the height of tourist season.
Right.
Wow.
Height. So people are like flies.
Oh.
If not for the conference, you would have gone...
Oh,
maybe January.
Definitely, so. I would not have gone. I mean, have you ever seen me go in like July before?
No.
I never go
July. That's because that's when everyone else does.
Yeah. I usually either go in January, February, March, or I will go somewhere like September, October.
Right.
Yeah. Never July.
In the tourist off season.
Yeah. So Rosetta Stone was hard because I told Nicole, I said, I'm going to maybe say a quick word or two. Forget that. People are doing selfies. They're standing there.
No chance.
Yeah,
no
not chance. Happening.
Nothing happening. So it was tough.
Wow.
But I did.
But you got to see it.
See it. Take a picture with it.
Yeah.
Is it big? Is it like a really big stone?
Oh, yeah. It's huge. It's about this big.
Wow.
Incredible.
Like when I say this big, I'm like 1, 2, 3, at least 3-4 feet tall.
Wow.
And 2.5 feet wide and about good. 4 inches, 5 inches thick.
Did Napoleon and his guys discover it? Yeah. But it was ancient, right? It's ancient Egyptian artifact.
Yeah.
So what are the three languages? Greek is one.
Greek is on it.
Okay.
And then ancient Egyptian.
Okay.
And then I think Coptic.
Okay. So they did the ancient Egyptians use it to the ancient Egyptians are the ones who, I guess, carved this stone to decipher their own hieroglyphs or ancient hieroglyphs from Egypt from like way back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a translation thing. Isn't that Rosetta Stone? That's like a thing that we have
now. It's a program, yeah, that you get to learn languages.
But based on this thing that has Egyptian, Greek, and Coptic on it.
That's a good question. What was its original intent?
Yeah.
Intended use?
Or do we even know? You know, by the time Napoleon and his guys found it was already ancient.
True.
You know?
Yeah, there may be nothing detailing what that actual purpose behind it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
This was in 1799 that it was discovered.
Right.
So three languages. So you have ancient Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Which is written in hieroglyph. And
that's what you see on like the pyramid walls and stuff like that.
Right. And then you have Demotic, and then underneath that is Greek. So when you see these three, it took a while for them to break the code.
Right.
And when they broke the code, they were able to now interpret the hieroglyphs.
Because I see. Because if it's like you've got the hieroglyphs and it's like, all right, here's how you do the same thing in Demotic. And then here's how you do the same thing in Greek. And then I guess once it's in Greek, you can translate it to whatever because... Right. Greek was, I guess Greek was like the language of the everyday people or whatever. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's how that worked.
That makes sense. So, but it was crowded though.
It was very crowded.
Wow. I can imagine with something like Rosetta Stone that
everybody wants to see it. And it was a little frustrating, but I was like, okay, I'm going to push and shove and get myself in there and get the pictures and a quick video. And I said, just film me standing there, try the best you can, take out the other people.
Yeah.
But just me looking at it, and she did.
All the Assyrian stuff, is this the same Assyria that took Israel into exile? Same exact time period?
Yep. Same people.
Wow.
So, you know, walking around seeing some like Ashur-Nasir Paul and Ashurbani Paul. I mean, I'm like, wow, I've seen these pictures in textbooks, never saw them in real life.
That's incredible.
They have some big calves, by the way.
Really?
I mean, those stone carvings. Their calf muscles are usually like.
See, I didn't know if you meant like big cows, like big animals, or like calves. Their calf muscles.
They're not skipping leg days.
I got you.
And even their arms, like they're like.
Ancient Assyrians never skip leg day.
No, they don't skip leg days or preacher curls.
Very nice. Very nice.
So saw that, and then I also wanted to see Ur, because that's where, you know, in Iraq now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm not going to get to see that. So let me go see that, and then Iran. Well, Persia. So some of the ancient things from Persia, I was able to see those as well.
Was that Ur, like Abraham's Ur, where he was from?
Ur the Chaldeans.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's incredible. Yeah. And it's really cool to see all this stuff that's biblically based represented in reality, you know, in ancient reality, ancient history.
And there are several books out that I was able to go buy them that Christian scholars or Christian writers have taken to help you walk through the British Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And understand the Bible.
Wow.
I just didn't have time to read it because I bought it at the museum library.
Right. Mm.
But I have them now with us.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some episodes on them here
in
the future.
If I ever go back, I'll definitely be ready for the British Museum.
That's right.
That's awesome. So after British Museum, what comes next in your trip?
After British Museum, we sort of ate. Mm-hmm. And we already ate and we walked around and did all that. And then I decided to, we wanted to go see Sherlock Holmes.
The museum? Sherlock Holmes Museum?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because it was not very far from there. So I got a taxi and we drove there. And we were supposed to be there like 30 minutes later. We got there 30 minutes earlier. So I was able to walk through the shops and kind of see what all is there.
Nice.
And got ready. And it was a fun time walking through Sherlock Holmes, supposed home.
Did you ever read Sherlock Holmes as a kid?
Yeah.
Really?
I actually read and watched a lot of Sherlock Holmes.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Though I forgot the name of the actor, but he's like really creepy-like. Not of course Benedict Cumberbatch.
So are you team Cumberbatch or you team Downey Jr. for Sherlock?
Neither.
Really?
I like them both. I think they're great. But mine is the guy from the 70s. What was his name?
I'm going to tell you right
now. He's like really sharp features.
John Cleese? Robert Stevens? Is that him?
Yes, that's him. What's his name?
Well, it doesn't say.
Wait a minute, I saw that picture.
Yeah, looks like a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
I guess it's Basil Rathbone.
Is that who it is?
I guess so.
Okay, maybe that's him.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, he was my favorite because he was so intense.
Yeah, I liked Sherlock Holmes a lot. The thing with I never saw the Robert Downey Jr. ones, but
they were pretty good.
The Benedict Cumberbatch ones I really ended up liking.
Yeah.
Only thing I don't like about Benny Cumberbatch is there's no chance of you solving the mystery. That's very much sit back and watch him work sort of thing.
Yeah.
At least with Robert Downey Jr. and a lot of the other Sherlocks, it's like I can sort of solve it along with him.
Yeah, I feel like
ain't solving Cumberbatch's mysteries.
Robert Downey Jr. was a little bit more of like a scrapper, he's gonna fight with the bad guy.
A little bit too much. That's true.
Whereas Benedict Cumberbatch is more like where it's a mental battle.
That's one thing. I'll say that's one thing I don't like about the Poirot movies that Agatha Christie has. Like a lot of these they're great movies, but there's no way in the world Hercule Poirot is fighting these bad guys with a cane. Like there's been books where and I think Sherlock's done this too, where he solves the mystery and then the murderer runs away and they're like, Poirot, go get him. He's like, are you insane?
I'm not doing that.
I came here to solve the mystery. I don't care if he gets away. I feel like that's also a very Sherlock thing to do.
Yeah. No, it was fun walking around and reminiscing a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we pretty much called it the night and went back to our hotel, which was like an hour back outside of London.
Wow.
So we stayed outside of London and then drove in just for that day for the library, for the museum, for Sherlock Holmes. And then we were back on the edge of town, old London.
That's incredible.
By the airport.
Wow.
And slept in, got up in the morning.
Jet lag? Or not really?
Jet lagged, yeah. Jet lag was catching up.
I can imagine.
But we got going and our car rental car, we took it and headed to Stratford.
Now that's where Shakespeare was born?
Shakespeare was born.
Wow.
You're talking about 1500s, 1400s, something like that, right? That's incredible.
Yeah, so headed to see Mr. Shakespeare.
Mr. Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Billy Shakes.
So did you film there as well?
Shakespeare's home.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. So when we went to Shakespeare's place, there were three places we had to go.
Mm-hmm.
One was his home. One was his new home, I think it is. And then one was Anne Hathaway, his wife's place.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the actress Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. People have made all kinds of jokes and references about that because her husband, if you put side by side pictures of paintings that are done of William Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway's husband, they look eerily similar.
So is the place named Anne Hathaway or does Anne Hathaway?
No, Anne Hathaway was his wife's name. William Shakespeare was married to Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with actual Catwoman Anne Hathaway.
No.
Okay.
They just share the same name.
Understood. Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. People have been joking about that since she became popular, really since she got married, because her husband and William Shakespeare, their portraits side by side, they look strikingly similar. And the names of the wives are the same.
Modern day Anne Hathaway's husband looks like Shakespeare, and Shakespeare's wife was named Anne Hathaway. That's
kind of
crazy.
Right. Yeah,
I did not know that. Huh.
So we went to the first two places and then the plan was to go on to the third one. Anne Hathaway's place is a little bit outside of Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
Not outside, but kind of away from the main center of town. But then as I'm walking through this little shop at the new place, the lady there said, I asked him, I said, how long does it take to get to Anne Hathaway's place? Oh, maybe 10, 15 minutes by car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, great. I said, we're trying to make there on time. He's like, yeah, all these places close. Give me the time. And the church here, people go there too. I'm like, hey, what's special about this church? Oh, his family used to attend there.
Wow.
Huh?
They just say it's a throwaway line.
Oh, just that.
I'm like, well, I'm going there.
Yeah, that's what I came
to
see.
A ticket to there. It's like, no, it's free. People walk in there and see it. It's pretty cool. Also, this church went from being Catholic to Reform, went through the Reformation, not Reform, but through the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
So they kind of scratched away some of the images on the wall of saints or whatever.
It's still scratched away today?
Yeah, still scratched away
today. Wow.
So I'm like, oh, I'm going there.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to hustle. So we got in there and saw everything, and this is John Shakespeare, who was William Shakespeare's father, who attended that church, was a key member of that church.
That's incredible. Wow.
And then as I'm walking out, I'm looking at the map. It's like, oh, Trinity Church. That's where Shakespeare is buried? I'm like,
you gotta
go. Why didn't anybody tell me these things?
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, he's actually
all
there.
Right there together.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, Anne Hathaway's place is closing by such and such time. Trinity Church is this way. It'll take me good 5 minutes to get there, 10 minutes to look around, maybe 5 more minutes to get back to the car, drive this way. 25 minutes I got to give, and I can still make it to Anne Hathaway's place. Got it. I can do this. So I quickly jetted out of that church, went to the Holy Trinity Church. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, there's Shakespeare's grave.
Wow.
And Anne Hathaway's grave. And I'm like, I was going to miss all this. Didn't know.
Yeah. Didn't know. They just, if it weren't for that chance comment.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Took pictures there. Filmed a little bit, you know, a little bit just videos. And then quickly got in the car and headed to Anne Hathaway's place.
So you made it to all of them.
All of them.
Very nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Bill Shakespeare. Shout out to Bill Shakespeare.
That's amazing.
Love
That's amazing. Man, I know that there's so much more to unpack about your trip from England and just all the things that you're able to see. Unbelievable sights. And hopefully you guys are gaining stuff from these episodes as well. Enjoying them. Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Let us know what's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.